What's up, Beardos? You're listening to a notably nostalgic episode of The Bearded Vegans.
Basically, our whole philosophy boils down to, don't be a jerk.
Don't answer the question first by not answering the question. I really hope people didn't tune in to hear us talk about beards.
Welcome to the show. I'm Paul.
And I'm Andy.
And we are The Bearded Vegans, a podcast featuring a dissection of all things vegan.
If for some bizarre reason you're just tuning in for the first time, you can find all of our previous episodes at thebeardedvegans.com, and you can always reach us by emailing thebeardvegans@gmail.com.
In today's bonus episode, we're going to talk about what we've been eating and then dive into an in-depth review of Vegan 2018, the latest installment in the series by plant-based news founder Klaus Mitchell.
Paul, I feel like it's been so long since we've talked.
It has been. Yes, we're currently on our little winter break interview series. We knocked all those out early on, so... Yeah, Andy, we haven't, although I did just see you three or four days ago in person, but it has felt like a while since we've been on the podcast Skype grind.
Yeah. Yeah. That was such a nice surprise that you happened to be in Brooklyn.
Yeah. It was good to see you. And we got some good food too.
Yeah, we did. We went to Heartbreakers. I think we're getting ahead of format, but we went to Heartbreakers, which was a place that I loved what we got from them at Vegandale in Randall's Island in New York City earlier in the year. So I was excited to check out their actual location. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I thought it was pretty tasty. I don't know if it was like a total home run for me, but I would definitely be curious to go back and try more things from them.
I honestly would say that the thing that we got from Vegandale, which was the barbecue pineapple tofu in the hollowed out shell of a pineapple, that was a home run, I would say.
Oh yeah, that was, to me, what they totally knocked it out of the park with that one. So I'm definitely curious to, I wish that was on their menu, but yeah. I understand why it is not.
So before we get into it though, just again, if you're listening to this, that means that you support the Patreon, and we just wanted to give our sincere thanks to everyone that supports us, whether it's $1 or more. You are helping make the show more accessible, and you're helping us, you know, when inevitably I lose my wind filter and order one from Amazon.com and it doesn't come for months. And I'm currently recording this with a sock over the microphone, if you would like to picture that. But yes, you are helping making this possible, and we really appreciate it.
Paul, I think we just have to accept that it's time to shell out another $2 to this company for another windscreen and hope it actually shows up, maybe?
Yes, maybe. It's possible. Or just go to an actual store and get one, too.
That seems like a lot of effort.
Why go to a store and get one today when I can order one on Amazon and get one maybe in a few months?
Do you think they're probably just like, screw this guy, this thing is so light, like, we can't even weigh this, like, we don't even know how much to charge for shipping, so... He's never going to get it.
Yeah, I'm never going to get it.
Never going to get it. All right.
So let's get into this food, Andy. You wanted to follow up on this Just Egg.
Yes, I did. Okay, Paul, I know this has been like a multi-part installment talking about this damn Just Egg. Mm-hmm. And this is something that Hampton Creek, which is now called Just Foods, has been teasing for so long, for so long, that you would get the Just Egg, which is basically comparable to a product like Egg Beaters. Like, it comes in a carton, it's liquid egg, all like beat up and yellow, and you can just pour it straight from this bottle into the pan and scramble it up and have scrambled eggs, which seemed way more convenient than the follow your heart egg, which required mixing of powders at certain temperatures and all of that. And I know people that listen to every episode have heard me say this a million times, but the follow your heart egg, not a lot of protein, and just, it felt like a novelty product for vegans. And in my humble opinion, not a very successful replica of an egg in terms of taste. So you know, I was like, how this is not going to be the savior of the chickens, because it's just a thing that's kind of cool for vegans, but it doesn't replicate the convenience and nutrition profile of an actual egg, which is the main reason why most people eat eggs. I refuse to believe people eat eggs because they taste good, because I just think they're disgusting and gross. But despite all of that, I still have been so eager to actually get my hands on some Just Egg. Now, many episodes ago, I got to try the Just Egg at Orchard Grocer, which is a little vegan grocery / market in New York City that I love. They're making a breakfast sandwich, got it, and didn't think the Just Egg was all that great. Mm-hmm. Then,
if I recall, you had it hours after it was created.
Yes, I had it very long after it was created, and I revitalized it in an air fryer. I took a bite of just the egg, and then I also had it in the sandwich. The sandwich was very tasty, had that delicious seitan bacon from Seitan's Helper. Chef kiss, so good. But the egg itself, I don't know, the texture didn't work, and I felt like it was a very bland item. Then I went to Rip's Malt Shop in New York City. They were offering the Just Egg. They're offering it as a breakfast sandwich and also on a burger. I got both of those things, and I thought the egg was one of the most disgusting things I ever put in my mouth. Turns out, I found out later on that Just Egg comes as both a liquid, which is available for purchase to the general public, or what will be available to the general public, but also in a patty form. Like just a pre-made patty that they can, whoever is serving it on a restaurant level, just heats it up and throws it in the sandwich or whatever. That's what I got from Rips. Otherwise, I've really enjoyed what I've had from Rips. But that patty was like just gross. I hated the flavor. There was little flavor, and what flavor was there was not appealing to me. And it was just like wet and spongy. It was like you took a bite out of SpongeBob SquarePants. You know, like it just felt like not a pleasant experience whatsoever. Then I had the liquid Just Egg from Riverdale, and I still didn't like it. And so I'm like, okay, I've had it from enough places. I feel like I can safely say I don't like it. But because I'm a masochist and a glutton for punishment, I still had to go and get the bottle somewhere. And I'd been on a lookout, and I've never been able to find it anywhere. And finally, I was driving from Vermont to Connecticut, and I saw someone post that they got it at this co-op in Northampton, Massachusetts. So I made a quick detour off the highway, and lo and behold, there it was for $7.99 a bottle, the Just Egg.
Andy, what's the nutrition profile on this bad boy?
It is, I think it was about 6 grams of protein per, 5 or 6 grams of protein per the equivalent of one egg.
Not bad.
Yes. So the nutritional profile is incredibly similar to an egg. And also, you can shake it up and pour it directly into a pan and scramble it up. And so the convenience factor is there. So it's knocked off two of my major complaints with the Follow Your Heart egg. Mm-hmm. So I got some stuff to make breakfast Sammy's, and I went to my parents' kitchen and turned on that pan and poured some of that egg in there, and it cooked up so fast, Paul. Like the convenience fact, like quicker than any egg I've ever seen. It was just, it was like a scramble and ready to go so quickly. So I took a few bites of it, just fresh out the pan. Now, one of my biggest complaints, Paul, is that these eggs don't taste like eggs, the Follow Your Heart egg. Yeah. And everyone's like, well, you got to add black salt, which gives it a sulfuric kind of taste. And you got to add the black salt. And I'm like, if I have to add a very hard to find ingredient, this is not something that's at every grocery store. Anytime I've had it, I've had to order it off of the internet. Like I even went into a seasoning shop in my parents' town and asked them if they had black salt. And they're like, oh, you mean this like black ash activated salt that is black, but isn't the Kalanamak or however it's pronounced, like what's actually called black salt. Like they didn't even know that stuff existed. So at a spice shop. So
you need to go on the dark web.
And they were, you know, obviously clearly they're amateurs, because I don't feel like it's that weird of an ingredient, but it's not a common ingredient. So if people are telling me that I have to pay $8 for the equivalent of 6 eggs and it won't taste like eggs without me adding some special ingredient that I can't get everywhere, I'm like, what is the GD point, Paul?
Tell them why you're mad, Andy.
So, okay. So I took a bite of this and I was like, this needs black salt. This tastes like nothing. Now, again, you wouldn't just eat eggs plain. You would season them.
Speak for yourself, Andy. But okay.
Not all of us eat raw tofu by the handful, Paul. And then what was your holiday like warm drink suggestion? Was to just heat up the water in the tofu package?
Yeah, someone on Instagram asked me, what's your favorite holiday drink? And I just said, heating up the water that's left over in the tofu packages. And Andy, a lot of people thought I was serious about that. A lot of people sent me concerned messages on Instagram.
I am not unconvinced that you weren't serious, Paul.
Let the record show I have never done that.
Yet. So, yeah, my first impression of the egg from the bottle was that, yes, it is definitely better hot and fresh. I think that very quickly after coming off of the griddle, the texture starts to change. It doesn't have the that bounce of an egg. I remember we were trying to determine what adjective to use, and we kind of settled on like a bounce, you know,
yeah,
like a certain chewiness, but it's not quite chewy.
It's no snap, but it's a bounce.
Exactly. It's like almost a snap. It's a bouncy snap. It's a snouts. And it didn't have the snouts. It had it like briefly for a few seconds fresh off the griddle, but then the longer it waited, this is way more than anyone ever wanted to hear about the Just Egg, but we're in bonus episode territory, folks. And like the longer that you waited to eat it after freshly cooking it, the texture, I feel like, quickly deteriorated to a point where it was kind of like, it wasn't gritty, but it was like mealy almost. Like it had the texture of a chickpea flour omelet, which is what a lot of places will use to make their vegan omelet is chickpea flour, and it started to have that texture very quickly, which to me is not an appealing texture in something that I'm expecting to have the texture of an egg.
Yeah.
So I did it again with the seasoning. I added the black salt and it was good. It was fine. I did a breakfast sandwich. So I just scrambled with some sausage and onions and peppers and stuff like that. It was fine. But honestly, aside from the convenience of just being able to shake it up and pour it really quickly, I'd rather have a tofu. I'd rather have a tofu-based dish.
I'd just rather have a tofu, period.
So, I don't know. I know some people are raving about this. They truly love it, and I'm glad for them. But I think until this price point comes down drastically, there's no way it's ever going to really compete with eggs, which is interesting because otherwise all the Just foods are price competitive with their counterparts, or at least, you know, maybe a difference of 10 or 20 cents. But this was $7 for what is equal to 6 large eggs. And the last time I looked in the store, you can get like a dozen eggs for like $2 or $3, or $5 or $6 for like the free range, whatever bullshit.
Yeah.
Paul, you had the Just Egg from Rips recently, right? Is that your only Just Egg experience?
And I love how you say it like it's one word, Just Egg.
Just Egg.
Had that Just Egg. I did have it at Rips. And like you said, Andy, my Rips experience besides that was enjoyable. But like you, I tried a little piece. I didn't get the breakfast sandwich. I just got the burger that also had that egg patty on it. And I ripped off a little piece and ate it. And yeah, it was just spongy and didn't really taste like anything. And I was like, oh, okay. This does not taste like anything. So womp womp.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that the patty betrays this whole you just got to add seasoning aspect to it, because it's like, yeah, you can put seasoning on an egg patty, but I feel like it's not the same as being able to like mix it in while you're cooking it up. And I feel like if anything, the patty should be perfectly seasoned the way you need it to be. And I wonder, Paul, I kind of wonder if, as vegans, we've been trained to have all of these, the convenience products, we're just sort of trained to expect them to be fully seasoned, like right away. Like the Beyond Burger, in my opinion, doesn't need extra seasoning. I think it's great straight out of the package. And all the Gardein products and all these things, they come exactly as they should be. But things like the Just Egg and the like the Impossible Burger, for instance, they're trying to just mimic the experience of a restaurant getting like ground beef or eggs. And you do, of course, have to season those things and cook them in a, you know, a knowledgeable manner to achieve their true potential. So I don't know if as vegans we've been trained to be really lazy with these convenience products, or if these food creators just aren't doing a great job.
I actually have a friend that doesn't like the Beyond Burger unless he seasons it a specific way himself. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? Like, seasoning this? How do you even season a burger? Says the unprofessional chef.
You just throw the seasoning on top and then you flop it over and it sears it into there. I mean, my partner likes to season the Beyond Burger. Yeah. And I'm happy to eat it with that seasoning. But in my opinion, I have no need to, because I'm just going to cover up all that flavor with an unhealthy amount of ketchup.
Ketchup. What's the your ketchup slices?
You know, I filmed myself eating and reviewing those ketchup slices, but I just haven't had time to actually post my review of said ketchup slices. And I did that like months ago when the weather was still warm. So I gotta make that happen.
Yeah, you gotta get that going.
All right. Any other notable food you want to talk about, Paul?
Rips was good. Heartburgers was good. Went to Champs, good as always.
Did not go to Ramen Hood, I noticed.
Andy, I was in Brooklyn. I didn't want to drive into Manhattan.
It is a whole other world. Okay. Paul, let's...
A whole new world.
All right. Apparently, Will Smith is the genie in the new live-action Aladdin.
You are the second person to tell me that in the last 24 hours.
I'm real curious. I'm real curious what his take is going to be on that character. If he's going to try and do a replica Robin Williams performance, like all over the place and zany with a lot of characters, which I feel like is not really his style, but
yeah,
we'll see. We'll see. Interesting casting choice. I'm curious nonetheless.
Me too.
Okay, Paul.
But you know what I'm also curious about? Your thoughts on Vegan 2018.
So, Paul, we reviewed Vegan 2017, and I wanted to go back and listen to our review of that to so I could remember how I felt about it. But I could not find it, because apparently it was teamed up with Field Roast Sells Out to Big Meat as the main title, and then you just totally revealed it for me and revealed that mystery. So... do you remember how you felt about Vegan 2017 at all?
I think I remember it. We were slightly confused about who the audience was supposed to be. And I feel like at the end, we kind of came to the conclusion that it was maybe just supposed to be like a cheerleader type thing, where it's just like, yay, look how good you're doing, vegans, because of all these things that have changed, and look how optimistic the future is. I feel like that was our overall kind of feelings.
That sounds about right to me. So for anyone that is listening and is unaware of what the series is, the Vegan 2018, 2017, 2016, I think there was also 2015 we did not watch, or at least we did not review 15 or 16 on the show. I watched some of those, though, when preparing for 2017. It's a series that Plant-Based News is putting together that has gotten longer and longer each year. This year, Vegan 2018 is 57 minutes long. Last year was 47 minutes long. So pretty soon, Paul is going to be real unhappy with the length of these these documentaries.
I was going to say, kept it under an hour, and I was happy about that.
Yeah. So what this is basically a sort of year in review series from Plant-Based News. And it's something that is, I don't know, it's both this mixture of here's what happened, but also kind of answering objections that some people might have if they were watching and they weren't vegan. So I think we're going to – I will personally struggle with that question of who exactly is this for yet again. And if I was to recommend this, who would I recommend it to? But to sort of lay the groundwork, this – you know, last year I was under the assumption that none of the footage was original footage at all. And you thought that some of it was stuff like interviews that were curated by Plant-Based News. And I was like, no, I don't think they really, I think they're just, cause the whole thing is basically a clip show. It's just, you know, screenshots of articles and clips from the news and interviews and things like that. This one, I can say definitively that some of the interviews were actually shot by Plant-Based News specifically for this documentary. I'm going to guess definitely the Jane Velez Mitchell interview and yes. the badass vegan one, and there's a couple other ones that seem like clearly they were looking for specific talking points for this film. But mostly these films are just sort of a collage of things that happened throughout the year and structured into a format that is sort of pushing the narrative that veganism is growing. I think added in more than anything in this year is also this narrative that, like, there's a war going on between two sides. It's like really amping up. And so, yeah, as we mentioned, it's directed and edited by Klaus Mitchell. This one's narrated by Lucy Moon, who I don't think narrated the last one. And of course, Plant-Based News always makes a little announcement with an article. So I'm going to read just a little bit from that article because I think that'll help us with our discussion. Plant-Based News founder and the film's director, Klaus Mitchell, says, "If any of you last year saw our film Vegan 2017, that was a smaller project and a bit of a test run for this documentary, which is feature length and something I've wanted to do for years. It is the result of hundreds of hours of research, investigation, and editing, and charts the rise and growth of the vegan movement across the globe today." Plant-Based News co-founder Robbie Lockie, great name, added, "It's incredible to see the vegan news every day and observe how this movement is becoming more prominent in mainstream media and dialogue. Taking all the stories from a year and assimilating them into one journey has been absolutely fascinating, and we hope our audience will also enjoy it." And I can't, Paul, watching this, I was like, it must have taken so long to put together this 57-minute documentary.
That's what I was about to say, is that the amount of clips that they show from different news sources is astounding.
And there's so many times where they just pull like someone saying like eight words to highlight a point really quickly, and then they cut to the next thing and these whole long montages. So yeah, I believe it that it was hundreds of hours of research and editing and an investigation. So Paul, I guess let's kind of start with our general overall feelings about this one. So we watched Vegan 2017. We watched Vegan 2018. All of these are available for free on YouTube. So you can go watch it right now if you haven't seen it yet and you're still this far into the episode. We'll put a link to that in the show notes on the Patreon. Paul, what were your overall feelings on this documentary?
I thought it was fine. I struggled again with kind of the question of who is this for and what is the point of it issues. They focused a lot on health, which is always dicey territory. There were certainly some fat shamey moments, and in general, like, I didn't think that they really added anything new, except maybe they had a big section on athletes, and they threw in a lot of athletes that maybe it's because they're newer to veganism, but a lot of athletes that I had not heard of before. So it was nice to see that it wasn't just the same. You know, it's always nice when you're watching these sorts of movies, and whether it's the athletes or whether it's the physicians or whoever they're talking to, and it's not the same four people that these types of movies keep cycling through. So that was kind of cool. There was the familiar faces, of course. Dr. Greger not getting in there till about the 20-minute mark, which was upsetting a little bit, but
he was wearing a great chef's hat and like shaking some kale at the camera, which was nice. Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, so I thought that there was some nice new faces, which was cool. Yeah, overall I was like, this is pretty good. I guess I liked that they included quite a bit of the pushback against veganism from a lot of from the mainstream media and from the obviously the dairy and the meat industry. I thought that was good, and the movie wasn't just everything is great and everything is awesome and things are going very smoothly. It's like they included the road bumps. They included things that are not going as great. I mean, they always put whenever they had these long montages of, you know, newscasters talking bad about veganism, they would have this like whimsical music in the background, like, look at how foolish these people seem. Like, I can't remember. It's some famous like song. I can't remember what it was, but yeah, it was just like, it makes it seem very silly and goofy what they're talking about. But yeah, those are my, that's my initial feelings about it.
It'd be great if they put the like yakety sax music behind the news clips there. Yeah, I mean, so with the first 20 minutes of the thing, I was like, this should be called Impossible Burger the movie, because they just hype up the Impossible Burger so much in this thing. But yeah, I mean, I think that my overall feelings, like you, is kind of, this was fine for what it is. I mean, I think it's very impressively put together. Again, the amount of research and effort that I'm sure had to go into this was immense. You know, watching this was like a trip down memory lane, like going, oh, I remember doing our episode about that. I remember doing our episode about that. Also kind of making me go, well, yeah, that was kind of the thing, but we covered it way more in depth, or like we, you know, like I want them to have the full discussion about why this is good and bad, or, you know, all of those things. And I do feel like it was kind of just one of the, you know, there's like speeches like this at the animal rights conference every year where like one of the closing speeches is someone that's like, look at all the victories we've had over the years, over this past year. Look at all the things that we've done, like how great we're doing. And it's usually one of the last, you know, plenary speakers or something like that. And in my opinion, it basically serves to be like, there's so much doom and gloom in the world, and things are still horrible, and we still have so much to do. But look, we're actually doing stuff. We're accomplishing things. So let's keep that in mind while we go out there and continue to fight for the animals. And this basically felt like an hour-long version of that. With, you know, and it's like they do include the backlash stuff, but basically they almost frame that like it's a victory, basically saying like, we actually have their attention now, and clearly what we're doing is working, or else they wouldn't be pissed off. So even though it is kind of showing the negative aspects, or like the backlash aspect, it's still kind of adding to the list of victories that we have. Like, if they're fighting back this hard and this desperately, we must be doing something right. And also, look how horrible they look. Do you want to be with those people that are trying to run over people that are just trying to give water for pigs and things like that?
Yeah. I wish that they, because, you know, they talked about the environment, they talked about the health. Then they had I wish that they spent, I didn't feel like they did this. Maybe you feel differently. I wish they spent as much time on the activism stuff as they did on the health section, because I felt like a healthy portion was in the health section.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like they, I wish that they focused more on the plight of animals. I think that that felt like something that was like really missing until the final third of the documentary. Mm-hmm. I felt like they could have shown more on the activism side of things. You know, I appreciated the Remember this aspect. I had forgotten all about February.
Yeah.
And how like ridiculous that was. And then the follow-up of Feb no dairy, which is just the worst. But yeah, they definitely did focus a lot on the health aspect. I guess I appreciated that often when they were discussing that, they used the phrase plant-based diet as opposed to veganism. Mm-hmm. Not always, but most of the time that's what they used. But when it's in a documentary called Vegan 2018, it's still going to conflate those two things together. And I don't know, like, this is one of the things I wanted to talk about with you, Paul, was there's like these two sort of colliding worlds in this documentary and in the vegan movement that are literally back to back in this particular film in terms of their segments, which is there's all these people talking about how amazing a plant-based diet is, how it's going to, you know, there's doctors saying this person got off all their medications and this person got off all their medications. And actually in the athlete section, which, you know, I think in general, it's great to show off the vegan athletes, because I think for those who want to be an athlete or are athletes, it shows them, hey, your peers are doing this. The people that are making huge accomplishments are also doing this, so you too can do it. But also they're also prone to making these outlandish claims. And so they showed a clip of the Olympic ad that was running that was basically talking about all the athletes that decided to get off dairy. And I forget the athlete's name, but they said, it's a clip of all these people saying, I did it for this. I did it for this. And this person said, I did it to run faster, and I ran faster the next day. I was like, I mean, there's so many, like, how much faster? And there's so much, like, in one day, it's like, that could be, I guess, the difference between eating a heavy pasta meal before a race or drinking like a smoothie. Or, you know, it's like, I don't, you know, it's like they're attributing these like superpowers that yeah. happen overnight when you get dairy out of your system. And that felt a little disingenuous to me.
I will say this, though. We didn't talk about that ad, I don't think, or I just have a terrible memory, which is also the case. But I don't think we talked about it. And I thought that was cool that they played an anti-dairy ad at the end of the Olympics. I think that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, no, in general, I'm really into that. And I like the concept of it. But it just seemed like there was a few claims that were a little wonky.
For sure.
Like, I mean, not an athlete, but Moby throws out the figure that it takes 280 pounds of grain to make 1 pound of beef. And I was like, that seems really far off from all the numbers I've heard. And I did another Google search. And like most people say it takes between 12 and 16 pounds of grain to make 1 pound of beef. You know,
he also said not that he's the only one that says this by any means, but he also said I think he said, like famine, every case of famine is 100% caused by animal agriculture, I think he said.
Yeah.
And I was just like, and you know, followed by, if we just switched to plant-based food, there'd be enough food to feed everyone in the world 2,000 times over or something like that. When, you know, it's like, there is enough food to feed everyone right now. It's just not being distributed to everybody.
Yeah. And I thought that was interesting because as soon as Moby said that, I went, I'm going to bring that up. But then Moby followed it up by saying, and people try to challenge me on that, so I say this. And that's when he brought up the 280 pounds of grain thing. And I was like, like, that's not, you know, I'm I think a Well-Fed World says, the organization that's like a vegan hunger relief organization, you know, it's not the only factor, but any sort of look at global hunger that doesn't include the cost of animal agriculture is incomplete, but it's not like it's the complete picture. And I'm sure that you would find cases of famine that are not as a direct result of just the fact that it takes a lot to produce animal products. Like I'm guessing there's some capitalist issues. There's resource distribution issues there. You know, there's like so many different things at play. To say that it's purely because of that feels a little disingenuous and feels like something that gets thrown out. And it feels good as vegans to be like, oh, we're not participating in that because we're vegan. But it feels like it's the kind of thing that someone, if they weren't vegan and they were watching this, they might latch on to that and go, well, that's clearly bullshit. And as you know, as Penn and Teller say, like, if someone can figure out one part of your trick, even if it's a small part of your magic trick, the whole illusion is ruined. Like, as soon as someone can figure out why something isn't real or like really magic in front of them or ruins the illusion, the entire illusion is ruined, even if they've only figured out 5% of it. And so I feel like when someone could say, oh, well, this figure of 280 pounds of grain is wildly inaccurate, what else in this movie is wildly inaccurate and being presented as fact? So for that reason, if I was to ever talk about recommending this, I don't think I would ever recommend it to someone that was skeptical about veganism.
I'm guessing it was Penn that said that and not Teller, Andy.
Good one, Paul.
That's some magic humor for you all.
You know, I found a YouTube video of Teller teaching like a magic class, and it was so weird to hear him talking.
Yeah.
Anyway, all of that tangent was, I was talking about how there's these two worlds that are butting heads, and that is this whole section talking about how horrible meat is for you. And they really focus almost exclusively on meat, more so than like eggs or cheese or something like that. And then immediately after, they're talking about how amazing cell-based meat is, clean meat. Mm-hmm. And to me, those two things are at odds with each other, because everything that we've seen has been like, you know, the clean meat, the cultured meat, significantly better for the environment, but it's going to be the same health-wise for humans. Like, maybe it could be engineered to have like a little bit less fat or cholesterol or something, but like, generally speaking, it's going to be the same health-wise for humans. And so it's kind of interesting for me to see those two things back to back, like, and not have them be reckoned with each other. Like, it's just like, as a documentary, they're throwing every possible little thing at the wall to see if it sticks. And they're almost saying that, like, by adopting a plant-based diet, it's going to be amazing. And you can eat this clean cell-based meat on that diet. You know, and it feels like there's some sort of connecting bridge or acknowledgement of the conflict between those two things that's missing, not just in this documentary, but in the movement as a whole. But it felt really weird for me to have them immediately following each other in this documentary. What do you think?
That's interesting. That's interesting that you pointed that out. I did not think about that, but now that I do, it is totally, that's wild. And, you know, I guess some people could say, well, the clean meat is not going to have the antibiotics or the risk of diseases and stuff like that, like mad cow disease or anything like that. But, you know, they also, in the movie, you have people saying like, it is identical to a cat, like a cow's flesh meat. And so you're right, Andy, it is like, if it's identical, then it should present those same things that the movie just spent 30 minutes saying, look how great it is to not have these things, you know?
Yeah.
So that is interesting.
Yeah. And it's the type of thing that the packaging on this film is so slick that I don't think you really think about those things. And as advocates in this movement, we sort of accept that, you know, a lot of people are pushing for the clean meat to be a thing, but it does seem at odds with a lot of these sort of outrageous, outlandish health claims that people tend to throw out there. So
I think it would be not, I did not expect them to do this. I would have been surprised if they did this, but it would be cool if this movie not only talked about, you know, vegans versus non-vegans, which is what a lot of the movie, I feel like, presented itself as, but also the conflicts within the vegan movement. Because I feel like, I don't think this movie was very welfare-y. Like, it was very, in terms of the animal stuff that they talked about, it was like, go vegan type of messaging. Obviously, maybe we can, the health stuff might be a little bit, no, I mean, even the health stuff, it was like, go plant-based, go vegan. So there wasn't very much, like, it didn't talk about reducitarianism at all. 2017 may have talked about that, because I feel like that's when that came out. So they may have talked about it then. But my point is that I felt like it would have been interesting if they talked about some of the issues within the vegan movement. Like, there are plenty of shitty things that happened in the vegan movement in 2018 that would have been interesting for them to talk about. Obviously, it would not have been as, you know, as much of a positive thing as the rest of the movie is trying to be. And because I think we can say that that's what this movie is trying to be hopeful and constructive and or not even constructive, but just positive and optimistic, but maybe, you know, maybe unrealistically so, because maybe you do need to bring up some of these bad things so that we can be more constructive in the movement and deal with them and handle them instead of pretending that they're not there and just saying, oh, everything is great. Look how great veganism is right now.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I guess there's just so many moments in the film where it felt like a little dishonest and like a little, I mean, I guess I shouldn't be that surprised, because we are constantly pointing out how not just plant-based news, but so many different of the vegan media outlets are going, look at Donald Glover who bought vegan Girl Scout cookies and turning a headline into that when he just bought something that happens to be, you know, and it felt like so much of this movie was like taking things where someone's like, oh, I went on a plant-based diet to get ripped for this one movie. and then I stopped, or talking about Beyonce and all these people that, like, anyone that knows and kind of follows this stuff knows that, well, this person's not, like, really vegan. And again, you know, we're not like the vegan police and be like, you're not really vegan. But, like, we know for sure that these are not people that are, even in the strictest sense of the term plant-based, not really following that or not really promoting animal ethics or anything like that. And there's so many moments where I felt like they were just kind of snagging little headlines and making people assume that certain celebrities were vegan when they're not really vegan, and just little moments that felt kind of dishonest. And, like, yeah. I'm thinking about, so there's one clip that they used of this guy, Casey Neistat, I think that's how his last name is pronounced, who's this, like, very, very popular YouTuber who just pumps out tons of content. And I've watched many of his videos, and I think that he's just, like, a likable personality and does interesting things and stuff. He put together a video where he went to White Castle with a friend to taste test the vegan burger versus the non-vegan burger, the Impossible Burger. Mm-hmm. And they show the clip of him being like, we're here to taste test this plant-based, like, vegan slider. And then they show a clip of what is definitely not the White Castle burger. It's like a vegan slider with, like, lettuce and, like, a nice pretzel bun looking thing. And it's really thick and juicy. And it's asking you to assume that this is what White Castle is serving, but it's not. And also, I've seen that entire video, and it's not totally negative against the Impossible Burger, but he didn't love it. He didn't think it was the best thing he's ever had. He didn't necessarily say that it was, you know, it just wasn't like him being like, oh my God, this is blowing my mind. So they're like pick and choosing little clips from different things to kind of make people assume certain points are being made that aren't actually being made. And so yeah. It just makes me wonder about a lot of the clips that we're seeing in this thing that I have not seen all of, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That is, I mean, like, even when the Gene Bauer on Fox News clip, they played a couple of his clips, even then, I mean, I would say overall that was a, who is it? What's his name?
Tucker Carlson.
I was about to say Carl Tuckerson.
Close.
Like, I would say he was overall favorable to the things that Gene Bauer was saying, but definitely they chose the clips of him saying, you know, it's like, I can't argue with you. You're absolutely right. And those sorts of things.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess it just sort of, to me, it calls into question the integrity of the whole film. You know, it's like, I just happened to have seen that White Castle video before. And,
yeah,
you know, there's a lot that we're privy to because it's our, I don't want to say job because we're not getting paid to do this, but it's our part of our responsibilities as media creators to sort of know what's going on. And we have news sections, so we're constantly combing through every article on vegan media outlets. But it's not like we've watched every minute of everything that certain celebrities have ever said about veganism. And it just, I don't know, it just felt dishonest to me. And again, I feel like if anyone watching it that is skeptical about this whole thing starts to pick it apart, then they might wonder what other claims they're making are false.
Yeah, I feel you. And speaking of the clean meat, not to go back to that, they also said they put up a thing that was like clean meat brought to the market by the end of is going to be brought to the market by the end of 2018. And I was like, ooh, they better hurry.
As of the time of this recording, they have 11 days to go.
And I was almost like, why would they include that, knowing that that's probably not going to happen?
Yeah, because I forget, this came out, I think, at the beginning of December.
December, yeah.
Right? And so they've obviously been working on it for, I'm sure, at least a few months, you know?
That's true.
And sort of
that's
adjusting true. As they go along. But yeah, it felt like a weird thing to include when it's clearly not happening.
That'd be great if it happened, but I'm not going to hold my breath on that one.
Yeah.
Do you think, Andy, at the end, towards the end of the movie, because they did this at the beginning where they played this lot of clips of people talking smack against veganism, a lot of news clips, and then they brought it back towards the end. And I don't remember if it was an interviewer or just the narrator was like, there's a witch hunt against veganism. Do you think that there's a witch hunt against veganism?
No, I mean, even if you want to remove the sort of the problematic nature of using that term, I feel like no, I just don't. I mean, I think that people find vegans to be easy targets. I think people, you know, everything we've talked about, the mere presence of vegans often makes people sort of feel uncomfortable because it forces them to examine their own choices, or they look down on people that they view are, think that they're morally superior or anything like that. But I wouldn't really say there's anything resembling a witch hunt in terms of vegans.
Yeah, that's how I felt too. I thought it was, again, almost making it seem like, and don't get me wrong, I do think, and just like Vegan 2017, Vegan 2018 pushes a lot of the, like, veganism, it's the thing now, like, everyone's talking about it, everyone's doing it, like, it definitely pushes that, but those sorts of moments, and it's like, I do feel like it's growing in popularity and more people are talking about it in 2018 than 2017 and hopefully more people in 2019. But I feel like that was just kind of trying to push that a little bit further, when in fact I'm like, ugh, I don't know if there's that much care about it yet that people are specifically, a large enough number of people are specifically targeting veganism for some reason.
Was that the narrator that said that, or one of the people on the news?
Oh, I don't remember. It wasn't the news clip. I know that for sure. It was either an interview or the narrator.
Gotcha. Yeah, that seems irresponsible to say that. So,
you know what's also irresponsible, Andy?
What's that, Paul?
16 minutes and 27 seconds in. I want you to go to that. I'll wait.
God, hold on. Okay. 16 minutes and 27 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about that egg?
Andy, what is that egg? And why didn't they include what that egg was?
I've had that egg. It's from
that egg?
I forget exactly. I had it when I went to Nick's in the Bay Area. And I forget, like, a lot of the people in the Bay Area seem to have it. The butcher's son has it. I want to say it's like Mewa or Verisoy or one of those companies.
Mewa.
Makes it. I know. I think Rabbit Food Grocery in Austin has it. Like,
if it's Mewa, then it's within my grasp.
It was pretty good. I thought it was pretty good. It was very egg-like.
It's a nice sunny side up egg.
Yeah, yeah. It just comes like that. Like, it comes looking exactly like what you see. For the listener at home, it looks like a sunny side up egg. Like the white with the yellow yolk in the center, and yeah, wasn't the most mind blowing thing I've ever had, but I thought it was quite good.
It blew my mind when I just saw it, and I was like, how, because they even say even the egg is vegan, and I'm like, damn it, tell me what that is.
Yeah, I kind of had forgotten about that thing, but it's pretty cool.
what else you got to talk about, Andy?
So, okay, well, you already mentioned like the health section. They definitely make some outrageous claims. They definitely have some headless fatties and some fat mm-hmm. shaming, and all of that sucks, so we don't need to talk about that anymore. Yeah, I mean, it just felt like they were just kind of throwing anything at the wall to see what would stick. And it, like, if this film is a film to psych up the vegans, do they need to include all of that? Like, I guess it helps people want to maintain their veganism to continue to get the supposed health benefits. But to me, that's the type of thing that you'd show to someone that's not already on board with veganism. Like, this mm-hmm. feels like it's kind of a collection of things that could be like, they're like, it's a little something for everybody, but I don't think that the something for everybody approach is good. Like, I think messages and approaches should be tailored to specific audiences.
Like, there was one moment, Andy, when they talked about a news story about how, I forget exactly who it was, the dairy industry or the meat industry, someone that was putting a lot of money into, you know, sponsoring research to specifically try and get them to say that their product was actually healthy. And it was meat, I think. And I feel like that's when you bring something out that says, but actually, like, all these other studies, or look at all these people that have said blah, 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 that's not actually true. Because that's, you know, it's relevant to Vegan 2018. This thing happened in 2018. So now here's the evidence to refute it. But yeah, like you were saying, it's like, we don't need to hear just the health pitch for a plant-based diet, that doesn't necessarily have to do with vegan 2018. If there's relevant stuff that happened, yeah, bring it up, because that is the theme of this movie. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in some ways they're bringing things up that were like, look at this new study that came out and this new study that came out. But
and I think that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's sort of how I always maintain the health aspect of a plant-based diet should fit in to veganism. It should be like a rebuttal to people's concerns that by going vegan and therefore adopting a plant-based diet, that they're not going to die because of it, that they can be just as healthy as they were eating a non-vegan diet. And of course, yes, a lot of things that aren't animals can be very healthy, like fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds and whatnot. But that's not inherently going to be the healthiest diet in the world. And we don't need to prove that it's the healthiest diet in the world, just that you can be as healthy. So I agree with you, Paul. Like, that's how they could have used it in this documentary, just to be like, well, here's these claims being made in the media and here's why they're wrong.
You know what other claim was made, Andy? I'm spiraling us away from the health argument. We can go back to it.
That's fine. I have nothing else to say about that.
I believe it was Dr. Greger. It was just a voice. There was no face. I believe it was Dr. That sweet.
Are you sure
sweet...
it wasn't Seinfeld?
Or you know what I realized? I feel like Neil Barnard kind of sounds like. Oh my God! Why can't I think? Who do I think that Dr. Greger sounds like?
Goldblum.
Goldblum, yeah, Jeff Goldblum. I feel like Neil Barnard kind of sounds like Jeff Goldblum. I feel like I'm having a stroke. I think everyone just hearing Jeff Goldblum everywhere. But it was Dr. Greger, I believe, who said that this is the best plant-based documentary in history, talking about the new James Cameron, The Game Changers.
Yes. This Vegan 2018 reminded me of a lot of movies that have been on our list to review for a while, but still have not come out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was also confused by that because it mentioned that. And then the Cowspiracy sequel, Seaspiracy, which I don't even think I knew that was a thing.
It's not by the Cowspiracy people. They're just taking that naming format and running with it.
Wait. I'm pretty sure in Vegan 2018, they specifically said Cowspiracy sequel.
I don't think that's correct.
But regardless, yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing. But yeah, it was weird because I had a moment where I was like, wait, are these movies out right now? Because this is the review of 2018 type thing, but not out yet.
Well, Seaspiracy has been out for a long time, and it's only like 15 minutes long.
Oh, I stand corrected. But nothing to do with Cowspiracy?
I think they were just piggybacking on the popularity. Yeah, it got posted. Seaspiracy got posted on YouTube January 13th, 2016.
Oh, so not 2018.
No, apparently not. Unless maybe they're expanding it to a full length thing, but I feel like Seaspiracy is like even more of a stretch than Cowspiracy in terms of naming.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Oh, that's funny. But yeah, when is that movie? When does the James Cameron movie come out?
I mean, it's been doing the festival circuit for a while now, and I just keep checking to see when it's available. And also, Eating Animals, we never reviewed.
Mm-hmm. Is that
I mean, it's also been doing like screenings, but yeah, I mean, there's definitely like a lot of things that I was like, oh yeah, this and this. Running for Good is a clip that they showed in there. They're talking about like a vegan runner that completed some really grueling running thing. Mm-hmm. That's one that I want to see. That one is out at the moment, but yeah, it was a reminder that there's a lot of fuel. Looks like we can rent Eating Animals now on Amazon. Ooh. So look for that in 2019.
I was right. Well, I don't even know if remember what was said anymore. Seaspiracy is coming out and is by the same creators of What the Health in Cowspiracy.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. Well, I got to get to the bottom of who made this one in 2016. Well, all right. Well, look, this is, I'm sure it's all been very interesting to the listeners.
Oh, goodness.
Okay, Paul, I feel like the only thing that I thought was kind of interesting that we did not cover on the show. Well, there, you know, we've talked about how there's some people that are like, the vegans are sending us death threats. And we're like, well, vegans online are horrible, so we don't really doubt it. But also, I bet people are exaggerating. Mm-hmm. And they covered that story about a farmer that said that they were receiving death threats and then retracted it, saying they weren't actually receiving death threats. It was like hyperbolic. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yes. And I'll also say, related, I was surprised by the number of clips they had of non-vegans attacking vegans or like almost running someone over in that giant machine, like the like plow machine or whatever it was. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That was scary.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, Paul, unless you had any thoughts, I have some closing thoughts on this.
I was also surprised when they pulled out the instrumental version of Sultans of Swing by Dire Straits, played that in the background for a little bit. If you're wondering where all your donation money went to plant-based news, probably buying the rights to that song.
Okay, Paul. So here's how I feel about this film overall.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really well made. For what it is and is trying to accomplish, I think it's very well made. But I think that it presents a very limited and specific view of veganism. It's a very mainstream view, but it's like a mainstream view that sort of is in the pocket of Anonymous for the Voiceless and the SAVE movement. Like those are the types of activism that they're really championing. It's really in the pocket of like the Jane's Aspies and Earthling Eds and Joey Carbstrongs of the world. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like it's hard for me to really recommend this to anyone because it didn't cover, it didn't say, oh, look at these amazing vegan activists that are making the connections between human oppression and animal oppression. And look at these amazing activists that have been working really hard to, you know, make vegan food more accessible to those with low incomes. And oh, look at this amazing first time ever, like vegans of color conference at the Veg Fest in Scotland. You know, there's like so many things that it could have covered. And it really just sort of presents this very mainstream, mostly white view of veganism and vegan activism. And I, you know, I fear for the people that are watching this for the first time that are maybe, you know, newly vegan or thinking about going vegan and they want to get involved in activism and they're going to feel like the only avenues presented to them are things like the Cube of Truth and the SAVE movement. And so I feel like it for as wide of a net as it casts, to use a non-vegan term, I feel like it still had a very narrow scope in terms of presenting the growth of veganism in 2018.
I agree with you 100%, Andy. And I also feel like that it's not surprising to me that it was like that, though, given that this is a news outlet that is putting this out, you know, and it's like that's their thing is to be very mainstream and to get people that like get celebrities, get the Miley Cyrus, get the Pamela Anderson and Beyonce and all these people that they know the general population likes these people. So it's like, it makes sense to me that's the way that they chose to do this. But I 100% agree with you. And I do wish, and this is what I was kind of getting at before when I was saying, like, I wish that they focused more on activism that happened and maybe even getting into some of like the nuances of conflicts within the vegan movement and something like that, or disagreements within the vegan movement. And I think that would be more enlightening, but I don't know. I will say this, Andy. I think for a specific type of person that's vegan and enjoys that type of activism, I imagine that this watching this would be very encouraging to them. I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying I believe that to be true.
Yeah, I also believe that to be true. And I feel like I'm more on the lines of that it's not great. You know, I'm not going to say it's entirely negative, but that it's for someone that is already into this stuff, this is just going to sort of reinforce their views that this is the way to go and this is the most important thing. And it's going to continue to narrow their scope as opposed to widen it and open it up to experiences of other people and how they're relating to veganism. So I feel like in general, despite the fact that this was like I won't say a fun watch, but it was like an easy watch. It was something that was like, yeah, look at all this stuff that happened. Remember all the stuff that we talked about this year, but it still just was kind of like, it's, you know, it's missing pieces of the puzzle. And I get that not every documentary can cover absolutely everything. And, you know, we talk about that with like Cowspiracy. It's like, well, of course it's not going to be its own what the health. It's going to have like a 15 minute section on health, or, you know, like I get that, but it felt like, for how expansive and thorough this was, it was still just leaving out huge sections of the vegan movement. And it's kind of interesting, though, because it also, I mean, it mentions PETA, but it doesn't mention your other big names like Vegan Outreach or Mercy for Animals or Compassion Over Killing or some of those other sort of, I'll say, household brands within, you know, those that are aware of vegan activism in the nonprofit world. It doesn't highlight those groups either. Like, it really is like Cube of Truth is it. Save Movement is it. Dominion Movement is it.
Because these are the things that are getting mainstream media attention, you know? And not to say that those other groups that you name haven't in the past, but maybe they just haven't, they didn't really do as much mainstream stuff this year. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like upset. Like, I don't think those groups need more attention or anything. They already get so many donations and have so much of the spotlight within the movement. Like, on some level, I'm happy that things that feel a little bit more grassroots are getting attention. But I guess I just say that to point out that it has a very specific view of what should get coverage. And if you and I made our version of this, we would exclude plenty of people from you know, like, so I get that. But I guess I would hope that our point of view would include more people that are doing interesting things that people should hear about. Cause Vegan 2017 is almost at 2 million views right now. It's like 1.7 mm-hmm. or 1.8 million right now that I would, you know, there's more people doing things that those 1.8 million people should hear about.
Yeah. I 100% agree with you, Andy.
All right. Well, can we wrap it up there? Do you have any other final thoughts, Paul?
Andy, we're over an hour, which means we've talked about this movie more than the actual movie has been.
Well, we talked about the egg for like 18 minutes.
That's true. That's true.
This is so close to being a live commentary. Like, we could be like, at 18 minutes in, press start on Vegan 2018.
We should have done that. Honestly, I feel like next time, maybe next time.
I mean, it requires, I feel like you have to watch the film and then watch it with the commentary to like really take it all in.
Not if we want to be those cool YouTube reaction videos.
You know, some of those videos, the person spends 80% of their time just watching the video, and I don't get it.
I don't get it either, Andy. You know what I did love? They included JME, that
I was like, that's Paul's boy right there.
Dude, great accent. Can't understand a lot of what he says. Says bruv a lot, which I also love, but great, great. Yeah, love him. Yeah. All right. Yeah. No, I don't think I have anything else to say about this.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so we are recording this in the middle of what's supposed to be our break, but we're still doing this anyway because we got to get those bonus eps out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we'll see everybody in the new year.
Yeah. We hope that you have a wonderful and safe holiday and a happy new year. And let's hope that 2019 is a little bit better than 2018.
Well... We can only hope. I got all my appendages crossed right now for that one mm-hmm. right now, Paul. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm, you know, Paul, you know those cards that you open them and they have like a pre-recorded message in them, like the holiday cards?
Yes.
You know how some of them you can actually like normally you open it up, it's like Jingle Bells plays or whatever. Mm-hmm. There, I saw this pitch, I think was on Shark Tank maybe, but it was a card that once you open it up, you can't get it to stop until the battery runs out or you destroy it. And I was thinking that it'd be fun to get one of those cards to give to our good friend Josh and to record you, instead of some holiday greeting, just have you saying the following seven words.
We are the Bearded Vegans, signing off. That's not a real thing, right?
Those are real things. That was a real thing.
Really? That's funny. That's terrible also.